With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we will talk to Darren Ills, president of our Atlanta United guys. He'll be in studio with us for his weekly visit. Things are going well for United, Mike. Things are looking good.
Yeah, and I was asking Mike Conti earlier, the voice of your Atlanta United, how the playoffs work, because it is a little confusing. Remember last year, we were in that knockout round where we played Columbus. This year, we'll play the winner of a game like we played. So we actually don't play in the first round in its own way, but we're still going to play that first weekend. He'll explain all with Darren Ills. Also, Miguel Almiron and Tito Villalba, who, of course, I guess his mom is from Paraguay, dad's from Argentina. Either way, both been called up to play for the Paraguayan national team.
Pretty impressive. Darren Ills stops by in about 20 minutes. Also, a little bit later on, we will have Mike Conti in studio for In Case You Missed It. Guys, and speaking of In Case You Missed It, were you telling me something about you ran into the Publix and there was a guy wandering around this morning?
Okay, I was just telling before we got on the air today. Real quick story, we'll get to the NFL Blitz. I work out at a gym, which is right down the street from the Cheetah, which is right on Spring Street, LA Fitness. So I was walking up to Publix to get some salads and some stuff. And as I'm walking up by the Cheetah, it's about 10:40 in the morning. And there's a guy, and I can see him. He's like, doo, doo,
oh,
doo.
By the way, for those who don't know what the Cheetah is.
It's a petting zoo on Spring Street. It's a strip club. But anyway, so the guy is banging on the door, the front door of the Cheetah. And he has this look. He kind of looks like he's probably here for some kind of a tech convention. He had a look like, you know, had khakis on, glasses, and a sport coat. And I didn't see his lanyard, but he looked like he was a flustered individual. So I looked over at him. I go, what, you lose your wallet? And the guy kind of stares blankly at me. I go, the valet will be here at 11 because I know the guy's over there. So
panic mode.
Yeah, so either the dude left his credit card, a driver's license, but the guy had the countenance of a very flustered man.
Oh, yeah.
He was kind of walking in semicircles, well, just kind of not knowing what the story was.
You know how that happens, Mike, because last night it was, no, honey, we're not going out. Well, I'm going to be in the room. And then all of a sudden, you don't have your wallet. And you are losing your mind.
But imagine you're some poor slub from Cincinnati or wherever here on a sales convention. Now you've lost all your ID or your credit cards. Anyway, I hope you found them.
Yeah.
You did not look like he was a happy
dude. Hilarious. And you know what? You shouldn't have messed with that dude like that.
at least I said, you know, go down the street, get a cup of coffee, come back. And I'm sure they'll have it.
Somebody will be here. Let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
And notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with the most ridiculous thing that I heard this week. Coming off the Browns win, Hugh Jackson had the audacity to say, guys, I don't know who my starter is going to be. All right, Hugh, what do you think now?
I informed the group this morning that we're going to start Baker Mayfield and that Tyrod will be the backup.
Okay.
I mean, look, we all know this.
We
know why they do this. It's out of respect for the guy who's the senior guy, although Tyrod's only got a few more, you know, years in the league. And obviously he's got a number of years in the league, but only a few more weeks as a Brown than Baker Mayfield. But, yeah, they do this whole routine. Remember up in Buffalo, they went with Peterman before eventually you realize that Josh Allen's going to be the guy. So not quite sure why you wouldn't want to just get your guy out there and get him the reps. But everybody has to do their little dance.
I guess so. Here's Baker Mayfield talking about now being the starter.
It's humbling. It's an honor. You know, that's what I wanted to be, though. I wanted to be the starting quarterback. But, I wanted to play. It's just human nature. So I'm happy, but it's just the beginning.
Yeah. Well, now we will see. It's one thing to come into a game, Mike, light a fire as he did, and you know, incite the crowd the way he did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but now teams are going to start seeing you, getting some tape, and seeing what you do well and what you don't do well. And
right.
You know, the great ones are able to overcome those things. So I'm not ready to go there yet with Baker Mayfield. I was thoroughly impressed with the way he came into that game last week, but now we'll get to see what the deal is.
Well, in this year's draft, you and I said Baker Mayfield should be the guy taken first based on everything he's accomplished. The same rationale that Carl and I had why Deshaun Watson should have been the first overall quarterback taken a year ago. Now, he's just now getting in the groove. For fantasy owners, he put up some points in garbage time. But their offensive line in Houston is terrible right now. So the Deshaun Watson you saw last year, I don't know if we're going to get that kind of production week in, week out, because they've still got some things to figure out with the Texans.
It's a great point. Speaking of quarterbacks, what are the Cardinals going to do? Well, Steve Wilks says it's going to be Josh Rosen.
Looking at the situation, evaluating the film, evaluating the quarterback position, I decided that Josh Rosen would be our starter going forward.
Again, what took so long?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I mean, and Sam Bradford.
Mike, that's why I can't be a head coach.
Like, you know, and by the way, why,
that's why I can't do it.
But that, I know you got to have a steady backup who's got experience. And Tyrod Taylor did take Buffalo to a playoff game. But in the case of Bradford, he's Mr. Glass. You know, I mean, he could basically bust out his knee walking to practice. So in the case of the Arizona Cardinals, they're going to see where that's going. David Johnson, meanwhile, is dying on the vine for you fantasy owners.
Yes, and I learned my lesson last year when I drafted him first overall. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that this year, and I feel for you guys who did. Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo, as we're talking about quarterbacks, you guys know, torn ACL, out for the rest of the season for the 49ers. They end up losing when this injury happened. A lot of people in Kansas City are saying, you know what, if he goes out of bounds, this injury maybe doesn't happen.
Right.
He's trying to get an extra yard, and boom, this ends up playing out the way it did. Either way, as Mike pointed out, guys, if you're the 49ers now, do you go out and acquire somebody, or you believe you got the guy in-house to maybe win you a few games?
Well, remember the guy that was attached to our man Shanahan, kind of like a barnacle? Remember Matt Sims?
Yeah.
Phil's youngest boy?
That's right.
Well, Matt's also in the mix. He was a practice squad guy and a backup here with the Falcons for years. But Matt Sims apparently working out with the 49ers, amongst others. And we'll see if somebody can pick up, obviously, what Shanahan wants to do on offense.
All right. It's going to be interesting to see where they go. I actually had them maybe making a run.
I think we had them in the wild card. Yeah. I think certainly competing for a wild card. C.J. Beathard, obviously, is, for those who don't remember, is the guy who's
that's the guy
technically the backup for the 49ers.
That's the guy. Hey, man, last night, Tampa Bay loses. We've not seen them yet. We won't see them until, what, week six after the Steelers game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he'll still be the starter. As I said, I would remain with Fitzpatrick, and I'd have Jameis come in and have to earn it. They've not been terrible. They're 2-1. There's really no reason to pull him, even with the mistakes last night. Here's what Ryan Fitzpatrick had to say.
I have so much fun playing this game. I have fun playing with these guys. You know, I'm here just ready to do whatever it takes to help the team win, and I think that'll be my mindset going forward.
You know, certainly you've got a number of guys out there that, you know, you want on your team, you want on your squad, you want guys to step up. It's like, we're dealing with injury. Everybody's got issues. Look at it. Every single team, Carl, around the NFL right now has got some kind of a little soap opera element they got to deal with right now.
Everybody is. Dirk Cutter, by the way, our former offensive coordinator, he's now the head coach down there in Tampa. They were trying to press the issue last night and ask Dirk, is Jameis your guy? Because he's coming back.
Let's see what happens. I mean, I'd love to get a chance to talk to Jameis face-to-face before right. I tell the rest of the world.
And again, there you go, out of respect for Jameis. Now, here's the deal. The mood in Tampa is certainly it's pro-Fitz right now, despite the fact he threw those picks, and everyone thought the other shoe was going to drop, but he did battle back. I mean, Jameis is a guy that you know, threw a lot of picks and had a lot of, you know, kind of crazy turnovers last season after being a quarterback. What, he had 50 touchdowns his first two seasons in the league.
All right.
So I don't know. I think if you're here, number one, though, if you're Cutter, you got to keep your job. You got to keep winning. So who gives you best shot?
That's it. And I think right now you have to think Fitzpatrick. Plus, I think you see guys rallying around him a little bit, you know?
Right.
Last night, who's the tight end there, Bo?
Well, you got Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard.
Yeah. Both of those guys talking about it wasn't all Fitz last night. They said, we blew some protections.
There you go.
You know, they put it out there. So they said, listen, there were some plays that,
Mike Evans quit on one of those routes and ends up in the interception.
So I just think, you know, when you look at, again, the big picture, it may not just be a bad idea to stay the course with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, Carl, they said they looked at the film. He was much too comfortable in the first two games for Tampa Bay, so they were going to blitz, they were going to get him uncomfortable. Here's Cutter talking about the protection.
I didn't think we protected him as well. I thought he played much better in the second half than he did in the first half. And he was under pressure, and he probably forced a couple of throws that he didn't need to. But I just didn't think that we attacked as much as we had been with our wide receivers tonight. Early in the game, we got better as it went on.
All right, so if you feel that way, then why make change? If you're the coach and you're saying we didn't protect him well, which didn't allow us to do what we wanted to do, then why make change? It's going to be interesting to see. Now, It's not our deal to worry about. But when we see them in 3 weeks, who's going to be the quarterback?
We're going to find out. One thing for certain, the defense is certainly getting after. Now, they did not do a decent job against the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, when you gave him time, he makes that big downfield throw, whether it was to Smith-Schuster or obviously to Antonio Brown. That's what those guys do. That's their bread and butter. But they're just not the same without – Connor was good to finish the game off and got a couple of first downs, but they're just not the same without Le'Veon Bell. Who knows when he's going to get there. By the way, if you're watching the game, I'm coming around, by the way, on the Monday Night Broadcast crew. You know, might as well just put Booger in the booth. They got Booger on that trolley going back and forth on the side of the field.
Booger is better than Witten.
Yeah. Booger's giving me more insight than Witten last night. Witten was giving me a lot of stock answers
last
night.
Well, listen, and I get it. I think Jason, you know.
He'll get better.
He will. He's but he got a lot of love, and he got the opportunity to be the analyst because of who he is. Booger McFarland's ready. Booger McFarland's giving me everything I need, and I'm enjoying the broadcast enhancement through him.
The other thing last night, wired for sound, if you didn't hear it, Gerald McCoy, as he's hitting Ben Roethlisberger, now knowing as he's in midair, I'm sorry, Ben, as he lands on him, knowing that the NFL is going to call that a flag. Roughing the passer calls, Carl mentioned him, 34 through 3 weeks. Jerry Jones talked about it on his radio show, saying that are we going to be sending the message to all different levels of sports now? You can't do that, that the quarterback in college and in prep and high school football will now be untouchable because that's the tone you're setting. Clay Matthews obviously talking about it. His own quarterback talking about it. Even Kirk Cousins thought the hit was bogus.
It all has been, for the most part, bogus. There may have been one or two real hits that the NFL should have called and been worried about. By the way, our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw. Guys, here on Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Darren Ills in less than 8 minutes here on the program. Speaking of Le'Veon Bell, would you, and I'm going to say this, Falcon fans, I'm not talking to you. We're just talking about Le'Veon because we don't need another running back. We're good. Ito's been good. Coleman's doing a nice job. Freeman's on his way back. Mm-hmm. But would you trade for Le'Veon? Because the Jets apparently are interested.
Well, I mean, be prepared to give him a $100 million contract because that's what he's been pining for the past two seasons, and that's what he wants. He wants to be the highest paid. He's up there with, like, elite defensive tackles, quarterbacks, elite, whatever. So, I mean, just be prepared to pay through the nose. And then you've got Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell. That's not too shabby.
I don't think so either.
I mean, and by the way, the Jets aren't going anywhere this year, so why not go for it?
Yeah, the Jets apparently called the Steelers about Le'Veon Bell.
And what's it going to be? What's the ask? It's two first-rounders? One first-rounder and a third? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, listen, now you're dealing with the Steelers. They don't normally do this because their whole stance has changed, right? It was, we expect him to be here. Now it's, we'll trade him.
But now, isn't it, Bo, correct me if I'm wrong, week six is the week he has to show up to, it's checked off as a year off your...
I believe it's week 10.
Okay, week 10. So
I'm going to double check.
So by
I believe
week,
10, week
10, he's got to show up, Carl, for the year to be checked off as a year of, as a salaried employee for the Steelers.
Right.
No matter how much time he missed, so then he can be a free agent.
Yeah. And will he?
I mean, they're not the same without him. I mean, like I said, Connor's a good guy, good fit, and it's a great story, but he's just, this dude is just the ability to explode out of the behind his blocks and also catch balls out of the backfield. He's just better. He's one of the best guys. That's why he is the best running back in the league.
All right, so you're on the Steelers. Le'Veon shows up week 10. You want him?
You've
been
like
busting your tail all year. He do show that you really – I mean, I'm just saying, that's an element in that locker room that's going on right now.
Well, it's already started. The offensive linemen are already on record with the media. It's kind of like, F this guy. You know? It's a very bizarre scenario. But the AFC right now, who's your lead dog? The Chiefs until further notice?
Yeah, until further notice. You know, we just talked about it at the start of the show. We'll get more into it coming up at 5.
Dolphins are 3-0, but nobody believes in the Dolphins.
Don't believe in them yet. Now, there's a lot of new personnel on that team that are making plays, but I don't know if I believe in them. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell on a Tuesday. Coming up, we'll talk to Darren Ills. What's he think about where we are right now with our Atlanta United? We are on the course, guys, to set a bunch of records before the season's over. CONCACAF still in front of us, Supporter Shield. All of this stuff can happen on top of the fact that going into the playoffs, I think, a lot of people are thinking that we're probably going to be favored. Home field is a big deal. We'll get into all of that with Darren Hills next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for the free kick with Atlanta United President Darren Eels. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Better than a bank and anyone can join on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are so excited, Mike and I, following this team, and I know many United fans feel the same way. Man, we feel good about heading towards the playoffs, but just the way they handled their business, Mike, on this road trip was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, man, just to win the maximum points there, guys, it was 3 games in 7-day period, 9 points. And here's the boss, the architect, the brains of the operation.
Hey!
F-A. It is Darren Eels. And by the way, Falcons and United sharing personnel. We'll get into that a little bit later in conversation. First off, congratulations on an amazing run.
Yeah, afternoon, chaps. What a great week it was. It was unbelievable. I tell you what, I still haven't recovered from San Jose. That was something else. The midweek game we had where we were 3-1 down and then they scored. So we thought we were 4-1 down and then good old VAR came to the rescue. We had a penalty up the
other
end. And then, you know, we score that goal right in the death in the sort of fifth minute of injury time to win it. I mean, that was pretty crazy.
You know, we don't talk a lot about this, but you've been around this all your life and I know you've experienced it. I saw a level of, like, care for each other after that game with this team that maybe I don't know if we've seen. And because it was on so late, a lot of people obviously didn't finish it, Mike. But
I went to bed. It was 3-1, okay? I had two down on the road. They looked like it was our night.
Trust me, I'm with you. I get it. I was like, oh, I was so ticked off. But can you talk about that? Because, I mean, I'm watching Brad. I'm watching Julian. All these guys. Just hugging and really caring about it. And you saw, like, I felt like there was a level of, you know, care and concern. And we talk about that word love, like the teammates love each other. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I think it was a key moment for us. I mean, they did show that sort of non-Mike Bell, you know, don't just quit at 3-1, keep fighting at it and see it through. And I think for us it was a great example of, you know, putting in the effort right to the final whistle. And look, it was a key moment in the season for us to get that win. Was huge. It meant that, you know, we could come back home in front of our amazing fans and get that chance to sort of stretch our lead at the top. But I think sometimes in seasons you get those moments where something happens and you just feel like, wow, this could be a special season. I think that's what we all felt in terms of that game on Wednesday. Now, clearly we've got a lot more work to do, but I think it just gave that sense of, look, we've got a real squad here. And it is a squad, you know, our different players play in, whether it's Darlington Nagbe coming back from injury, whether it's George Bello at 16 years making his debut. You know, this has been a squad effort throughout. And so I think that was the feeling Wednesday. It was pretty special.
We talked about Escobar, and I'm always like, Escobar, I'm not sure. And then he made some beautiful tackles, and he had some things to do, obviously, the last couple of games. We knew we'd see some different rotations, to your point. And what do you think our lineup is going to look like in the playoffs? Because it seems like the big three are really coming to their own. We saw Tito the other night, Miggy, obviously, and Joseph.
I think the great thing is that Tata's got a lot of options. I mean, the reality is I don't think anyone saw the lineup coming that we played against Real Salt Lake on Saturday, and we looked really impressive.
Did you know Bello was going to play?
Only at the time when the teams got announced. And I think, you know, it certainly showed that we've got different ways to play. You know, we've got the classic sort of four at the back, but we have the wing backs. Chris McCann has been great for us. He's defensive. He gives us that presence when we're defending set pieces. George was really attacking for his first game and showed a lot of confidence. You know, we've got Greg Garza, don't forget, who's in the wings recovering from injury that we're hoping to get back come playoff time. So we've got some real options. And I think that's a great thing for us, Mike, is we can show different looks depending on the opposition. And I think it's something that we didn't have last year. If you remember, we were sort of limping to the finish line come playoffs. This time, we're going to hopefully be rested, hopefully be in pretty good shape in terms of availability. And that gives us definitely an advantage.
He is Darren Eels, guys, president of our Atlanta United, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. I want to remind people this week, because of the circumstances, Atlanta United taking on the New York Red Bulls pregame at 12:30 on Star 94.1. Okay, the game will be on Star 94.1. Kick is at 1:00, but I want to remind Atlanta United fans, obviously we're your home, but with the Falcons playing this week and the United playing at the same time, Star 94.1 is where you'll be able to hear the game. I want to ask you about how much talent is at Atlanta United too, because we see Bello come up. I mean, is there more in the pipeline where we can start to really look at this thing and get more excited about what we're going to see down the road?
Absolutely. And look, it's a great example of what we spoke about when we started Atlanta United 2. It was going to be a proving ground. So it's a chance for us to play some of those young players in their first professional games to see if they can cope with the playing on the coalface, in effect, being there against men that are sort of playing for their livelihoods and then make the step up. And George Bello is a great example. He signed a USL contract. He proved himself, and so he got moved onto an MLS contract and is playing for the first team. And I think for all of our youngsters in the academy, George is a great example of what they need to strive to do because, you know, you've got to take those steps. And the great thing about Atlanta United 2 is that you don't have this huge chasm between the academy and the first team, which, frankly, with a club like us and not being cocky, we just have such a good first team that is a hard leap. But to have a second team where you can cut your teeth and prove your worth and then, you know, sign the contract for the MLS team is a great encouragement, I think, for all of our youngsters in the academy. So, you know, we couldn't be more pleased with how that's gone. And the great thing is we know that there's that talent level here in Georgia and here in the academy that Tony Annan's doing a fantastic job with. And look, it all comes down to having a coach like Tata Martino, who's not afraid to stick a 16-year-old in front of 72,000 in that game. I mean, that takes some guts, and there's coaches that wouldn't do that. But, you know, this is a guy that part of the reason we chose Tata was his pedigree in terms of playing youngsters, and, you know, he demonstrated that on Saturday.
And that's what's so cool, guys, the idea of Andrew Carlton and George Bello maybe being the face of the next generation of hopefully World Cup competitors for the U.S. men's national team, you know. That's all part of it.
Exactly. I mean, look, I mean, and again, I don't want to, you know, George had a good first debut, but, you know, he'll be the first to admit he can learn on a few things where perhaps, you know, he sort of hit a wall a little bit in the second half. But, you know, this kid's only 16. He's got a lot of growing to do, but he could be a real talent.
It is the boss, Darren Eales, with his guys from Atlanta United, and he joins us every week live in studio. Now, we've been trying to get this out of here for the last couple of weeks, so just for the listeners who have been asking us, should we be nervous about Tata's future here? I know October 1st is a big day.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've said it before. I think, you know, we're having a great season. I think Tata's enjoying himself. You can see that by the smile on his face. He's clearly going to have offers from elsewhere because he's a top, top manager, but we're hopeful that he'll enjoy the time he's had here and want to continue it.
Darren, can we talk a little bit about the playoffs and the format and why and how important it is for us to have that second game, especially talking about home field? I know, again, you know, last year was our first endeavor here in the ATL, and there are a lot of soccer fans are going, wait a minute, how's this go again? So we've already, you know, we've got a bye, actually, after, you know, this last week. But can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that was crucial. So the six teams make the playoffs, but the top two get a bye, so they don't have to play like a wild card game that you'd have in sort of baseball. And, of course, it was the game, the pesky game last year that tripped us up, really, against Columbus. So, you know, that was a huge relief. The other thing now is that you go into a two-leg game where you're at home the second leg, which is considered an advantage because you know what you need to do at home. You're in the second leg. If it goes to extra time or penalties, you're playing in front of your home fans. So that is, as well, considered an advantage. But I think the most important thing for us was we missed that wild card game. So we can finish the season on the Sunday and know we're not going to be playing again till that weekend, whereas the team we'll be playing against will have played midweek.
Right.
So you've got that sort of advantage of a rest.
Okay, because obviously, guys, in like other leagues, like, I mean, English Premier League, La Liga, it's you win, you score the most points, you know, you win. You win you win the cup. In the Champions League is what you what we're basically doing, where it's aggregate over two games.
That's right, aggregate over two games. At the moment, away goals count double, so that has an advantage. But to go back to Supporters Shield, I mean, it's still important for us. We've got a chance. We're now 4 points clear. The Supporters Shield itself would be a chance for our first trophy. And, you know, that's why it's important to us as a club, because we're obviously young. It's only our second season. But for us to be able to get that in our second season would be pretty incredible. So, you know, we're definitely focused on that. And the other big goal for us this weekend is if we could beat Red Bulls, we'll have guaranteed a spot in the Champions League next season. I've spoken about that. That's the regional tournament like they have in Europe, but for Central and North America. And that's really important. If we can get into that, then we're up there with the sort of top MLS teams. And it's a real chance for us to be that first club to win the Champions League, which we'd love to do.
And that's played in April, I believe, next year?
Yeah, actually quite early. So it sort of starts in February and runs through till the, I think the finals are going to be in May. Might be end of April, start of May. So, you know, it's 16 teams. You have five from the MLS, five from Liga MX. It usually ends up being a shootout between Mexico and America.
I think it was Toronto and Guadalajara. Is that what I think Greg, our Latin American soccer aficionado, is that who played in
CONCACAF? Yeah, no one thought Guadalajara was going to find a way to win that game. They were having a horrible season. And, yeah,
they just managed, and it was a, you know, ended up being a shootout. But the other thing you got to watch out is Toronto struggled this season in the league. So we do have to look at depth. So it's another reason why we can never rest on our laurels. Whatever we do this season, it's all about continuing to build.
And that's the thing, guys. As we're trying to educate folks who aren't the biggest soccer fans. These games, like in the CONCACAF, they run as concurrently with your MLS season. So it's kind of, you know, it does put a little wear and tear, but it's also there's some prestige involved.
Exactly, and you just got to deal with it. I mean, that's you want to be in it, so don't moan about it.
Can you talk about Julian Gressel? It seems like this has been a special year for him and all that it has been asked of him to do. And every time, it seems like he stepped up and played big for us.
Absolutely. And what's been incredible, Julian, if you think about it, I mean, he's just been so versatile, whether it's playing center midfield. He played a lot of center midfield last season. This season, he's been a right winger, a right wing back, a right back in a traditional four. And every time he's out there, you know you can rely on him. I think that's been the most impressive thing. He's one of those players that always has a seven or an eight. You know, he never you know, he's not a 9 1 week and a 5 the next. He's just solid and reliable. And that's why I think, you know, from Tata's perspective, he's someone that he's always looking to fit in the team somewhere because he's played that way. And look, he's brilliant. And I always think back with Julian. Yeah, we did a trade with Orlando for him, so that makes it even sweeter. Right. He was our expansion draft trade.
And a bunch of guys that were drafted ahead of him. You get up all those guys, he's got more assists than all of them. That's how great the talent, again, in between Tata and Darren. We've talked about Darren making great decisions, Arthur Blank making great decisions, and also some of the cross-training between the Falcons. You're bringing somebody from the Falcons organization into United.
Yeah, a guy called Chase Falavine, who's in there. He was the director. He's going to be our director of player administration, but he worked in the football operations for the Falcons doing the salary cap, so like a capologist. Brilliant for us because I think, you know, it's great for the business because it shows that people can transition, but the area we felt we could really focus on was it is a salary cap environment unlike any other in the league. And so to get that specialist sort of person that can look at the cap, look at the ways to help us best navigate the waters with that experience, and then with the core values we have across all our businesses, we know we've got a guy that's going to fit in with the team. And so I'm really excited. I'll be totally honest, I didn't think going into the search that would be the route we went down, but it was one of those where we found the guy, and we've done a little bit of restructuring. We're putting some more resources into our scouting, but you know, Chase is going to be fantastic with the team. And I think, you know, it was great for us to be able to work with, you know, our sister club in that way. And you know, we've had someone who's left us to join the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So it's working really well as having those groups because it gives opportunities for people to step up.
It's awesome. And we look forward to it because that's going to be a big part of our growth, guys, with the cap. Darren, again, game on Star 94.1, guys. Star 94.1, 12:30 pregame. Kick is at 1 o'clock. It's New York Red Bulls. It's a big one, Mike.
And Red Bulls, you talked about earlier, that's a good team. They're put together pretty well.
Yeah, and they're testing at their place. And look, it's a good practice for us for playoffs because, you know, it's the sort of high intensity game. I think, you know, they're up for it. They want to obviously win the Supporters Shield themselves. It'd be the third time they'd won it in 6 years, so this is a good team that's been there before. I mean, we had a bit of help with Bradley Wright Phillips getting a yellow card in his last game right near the death, which means he can't play,
right?
But they've still got some quality around the pitch. And you know, I think back to last year, we got a 0-0 out of there. I don't know if you remember, but Brad Guzan made one of the best saves I've ever seen against Bradley Wright Phillips. And, you know, we were holding on. So this will be a different test. I think we'll hopefully go there and try and establish our game. But look, it's fantastic. It's what you're in the game for. It's going to be fun. It's exciting. And, you know, we hopefully can get that win because it guarantees Champions League. And then we're, you know, looking to try and win that Supporters Shield in front of our home fans.
Let's go make it happen. Darren, thank you so much for joining us, as always, in studio, guys. This ride is just beginning. And, again, Star 94.1, Eels of Fortune, you guys undefeated?
No, we're not. We're 1-2. I call it emotional hedging. I hate the Patriots, and I've got Brady in there. So I lose, but at least Brady had a shocker.
Good job, Darren.
Hey, Mike Conti, the voice of the United, is going to stop by in case you missed it. Coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, coming up at 4, we normally do our dog report, which is on the sidelines with the dogs. But today, Brian Billick's going to join us. NFL Network, Super Bowl champion coach. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with the Falcons. Also, around the league, what he's thinking right now. But before we get to all of that in 20 minutes, right now it's time for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
It's been a tough 24 hours for me, guys, because I hate to see one of my sporting passions, one of my favorite teams, do what they have done. Now, I can openly say on this radio station, because Atlanta does not have a hockey team,
right,
I can openly say that I am a huge fan of the Philadelphia Flyers. I've grown up with that team. I've had season tickets from basically the time I could walk.
Right.
My dad and my grandparents were charter season ticket holders for them back in the 60s. I mean, they've been part of my blood from day one. And the Philadelphia Flyers yesterday did something totally unforgivable. Totally unforgivable. Totally counter to the image of what professional hockey should be in Philadelphia. They have gone down the road now of we need this furry mascot to appear to appeal to children. So they unveiled this mascot yesterday. His name is Gritty, okay? G-R-I-T-T-Y. If someone on the other side of the glass could please tweet out a photo from the show account Gritty, I would appreciate
it. Just showed Carl what it looks like on the computer.
Of course, I'd like to tweet it, but you know.
Yes.
So anyhow, Gritty, for those of you who are driving and can't look this up on your phone, Gritty, you remember the Muppet Show, Animal from the Muppet Show?
Yes.
This looks like Animal's older, fatter, balder, like brother or cousin or maybe father or grandfather or something like that. And right. What's most disturbing about Gritty is that he appears to have no control over his eyes. So they gave him two eyes, but the eyeballs kind of move independently. Around.
They're googly eyes.
He's googly-eyed. So, like, if he turns left, his eyes, like, will go up and down or something. Like that. He looks like someone who escaped from a mental hospital. Or you know what he actually looks like? Do you remember the Bugs Bunny cartoon when he was being chased by Gossamer?
Yes.
Do you remember Gossamer, the monster?
Wasn't that Marvin the Martian's monster?
It might have been.
Yeah,
Gossamer.
Yeah.
Big orange furry
had the
thing.
Hair. Yes. Marvin the Martian's guy was chasing him. I think that's the one. Yep.
So, you know, reaction has been very polarizing across the sports world. I mean, I'm sure if you go on the typical websites, you've seen this thing getting ripped to pieces. It has been especially bad in Philadelphia because I grew up there. I'm Facebook friends with a lot of people who still live up there, who follow the Flyers, devoutly. And one of them, Pete Ippolito from Downingtown, Pennsylvania, has gone to GoFundMe.
Oh.
He's trying to raise $1,000 with the goal of being able to euthanize Gritty before the season begins.
Wow. It's a scary
He's
looking...
gotten some donations,
but
too.
But, Mike, I'm sure it Mike, has. I got to be honest. It's a creepy-looking mascot. It really is. It's got, like, it's almost like Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes because it has, like, the orangey beard thing. But the face is all jacked up. It's very bizarre.
Dr. Zaius was a good guy. Gritty looks like someone who could torment a child in his dreams.
All right, so let me ask you.
I've seen some of the viral videos and the memes, Carl, they have like nursery school students crawling under their tables and desks and hiding when they see this thing.
All right, so that is the basic complaint, right? That this thing is hideous.
It's, well, and unnecessary.
Okay.
You don't need a mascot for the Flyers. Like, no. The Rangers would never have a mascot.
The
original six don't need a mascot.
No, the Philadelphia Flyers have sold out every game basically since 1971. Now, you know, I don't want to turn this into a let's rip millennials thing, but I do know that there are concerns that children are not as interested in professional sports. Maybe this is the way to do it, but the problem is if you create this hideous monster that kids are going to be afraid of...
Ah!
Isn't that kind of counterintuitive?
Of course it is.
You know, now, I'm going to stand up for our friends down the street a little bit because when Blooper was unveiled back in March.
He attacked me on Twitter when I attacked him.
There were, let's just say, mixed reviews to Blooper.
Yes.
And there should have been.
Well.
I mean, it's the Philadelphia Fanatic, but with the straws coming out of his ears.
Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with you there, Mike. I think there's a little more to it than that.
Uh-huh.
Blooper, at least,
it's
appears
fun.
To be friendly.
Fun, yes.
Okay, it's like Grimace from McDonald's.
Right.
Like, if you run into Grimace, he and the Hamburglar may have a thing, but you know you can send your kid to Grimace and he'll be safe. You know, he'll get a hug. Blooper looks like a safe mascot. You can approach Blooper.
He's benign.
Benign. Harry the Hawk, benign mascot.
Yes. Yeah.
Will not hurt you.
Freddie the Falcon.
I forgot about Freddie. Yes, absolutely.
Freddie can dance, too.
The bee from Georgia Tech. What's his name? Buzz? Stinger? Buzz?
Buzz.
Buzz?
Buzz.
Very friendly. You know, he's a bee and he has a stinger, but he doesn't use it. He only uses his powers for good. These are all examples.
After the Clemson game, he asked that he be run over by the car.
I don't know if that's true necessarily, but, these are all friendly. For kids.
So you think this mascot's going to eat kids?
I think kids will think they will be eaten by, like, if I'm an 8-year-old kid, I'm going nowhere near this.
No, because...
Have we tweeted the photo, by the way? Oh, I'm inviting you to talk.
Thank you. We tweeted the photo from 92.9 The
Thank
Game.
Thank you.
And we have the crazy eyes in it because it's a GIF.
So apparently, this Gritty thing, this monster, the Flyers had a preseason game last night, and he made his debut, and what happens as they unveil him? It's kind of like the Blooper thing.
Right.
You know, where Blooper came out and everyone's like, what's that? Gritty is able to skate.
Yeah.
And he skates onto the ice. And what happens? He gets to the face-off circle, maybe 5 strides onto the ice, falls right down on his chin.
Now,
the mask did not pop loose. That actually happened to the BYU mascot over the week. You see that?
Saw that.
He was on like some kind of scooter or moped. He was trying to do a loop-de-loop.
Boom!
And yeah, I mean, he hit so hard.
Yeah.
Like, now that, as a kid, that would terrify me.
Speaking of terrifying for kids, Mike, terrifying for adults as well. Did you see the buffalo mascot? Because they've got Ralphie, but they also got a guy in a buffalo costume.
Correct.
Who hit himself in the cods with a t-shirt gun.
Oh, I did see that. Was that this past weekend? I wasn't sure if that was stock footage or not. It was recoil, right? It recoil. Like he was doing one of those. I mean, say hello to my little friend things where, you know, he's holding the rifle basically at groin level, and it recoiled. Now, I don't want to ruin anyone's, you know, visions of what mascots do. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, mascots will engage in deception to make you think they have hurt themselves.
No!
And I'm probably going to get in trouble for this a little bit. Our buddy down the street, Harry the Hawk, has done this more than a few times. Where he'll, you know, dance along the top of the hockey boards, and he'll lose his balance. And when he falls, he'll fall groin first onto the dasher boards.
Right.
And you think, oh, man, prayers up for Harry. You know, that's going to be a problem.
Right.
But then you find out that he's actually done that about a half dozen times this season. It's just part of the
bit. Protection.
So well, I'm not saying that the Colorado mascot was deceiving people.
Well, he did go down like he got.
Oh, he sure did. He sold it. I mean, he definitely sold it. No doubt about it.
Mike Bell, I've not seen Mike Conti this upset about a mascot in a very long time.
I'm with Mike. I just think there's certain teams like the years ago, the Canadians adopted Yuppie, which was the Expos stupid looking mascot, the orange thing. And the Canadian fans are up and obviously, please never put that in the forum again.
Put it to you this way. Should the Green Bay Packers ever have a mascot? No, they are a heritage team that has a following.
Hold on. What would you have, like a giant wedge of cheese with arms and legs? That would actually
Really, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, Gouda.
The Oakland,
give it up. Here comes Gouda the mascot, Gouda. Guys.
The Oakland Raiders should never have a mascot.
True.
They do. It's their owner.
Well, yeah, okay. The Oakland Raiders should not have some horrific furry as their mascot. Right. Like, they've already got human. There are certain heritage teams and franchises that should not go down this road. Maybe I'm biased because I follow them from a very, very young age. I don't think the Philadelphia Flyers should be one of them.
Right.
And if you're going to do it,
don't make them scary.
Don't make them scary.
Yeah.
Kids are going to run from this thing.
Yeah. That tweet is out, by the way, Bo. Thank you for that. Those crazy eyes, man.
That's the worst part of all.
And the way the beard doesn't match the hair, it's almost like his face was on fire or something. He looks like a burn victim with googly eyes. Carl.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you've already got.
I'm being honest. First thing I thought of when I saw it.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Animal from the Muppet Show meets Dan Haggerty from the Bear Show. What the hell was that?
BJ and the Bear?
No, Dan.
Gentle Ben?
No, it was a mountain guy. Had his own.
One more guess. One more guess.
The Bear Show. Harry and the Hendersons?
No, I'll get it. Keep talking. That's why God gave us the internet.
I really don't know.
I have no idea.
What was it? A live bear or someone named Bear?
It's a crappy show on NBC. Bored me to sleep.
Alf?
The Legend of Grizzly Adams.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that guy had a big beard and hair.
Yeah, that was a rough time for network TV. We talk about how the
Little House on the Prairie, all those sleepy Midwestern, boring.
Right.
You know,
we talk about how the mid-80s were a bad time for Detroit and automobile manufacturing. The mid-90s, when we had Parker Lewis Can't Lose. And,
that was Fox, wasn't it?
And Murder, She Wrote and Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. It's just not really a good time for network TV.
Yeah.
We've evolved.
Mike Conti. Wow. I've been enlightened.
Mike hates Flyer mascots.
No, I'll own that.
No doubt.
I'll own that.
Conti, in case you missed it, guys, more with Mike coming up a little bit later on. When we come back, though, it's Brian Billick, Super Bowl winning coach. How do we overcome these injuries, and what does he think after 3 weeks of the NFL?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.